Where's all my soul sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow.
It's time to talk with Jim Boylan. The problem is, if I do his resume, he'll have no time to say anything. He is, I believe, the Forrest Gump of basketball. I couldn't believe. Like, where do you start? He has a ring with Marquette's 77 championship team. He has a ring as assistant coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers when they beat Golden State when they were 73-9. Let's see. Interim coach for the Bucks. Interim coach for the Bulls. Let's find out. Jim, coach, what do you start? What do you put at the top of your resume?
Well, I think, you know, I had it all set, but now that I've, I'm on the radio with the two superstars of Milwaukee. I think being on this radio show today might jump up to number one right now.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. We really appreciate it.
Now
there's only one star here. His name is Homer.
Now we know you're a huge liar. All right, so I left out the part that you came to Marquette from Assumption College, a dinky little school in Worcester, Mass. And the only reason I knew Worcester is my uncle, Dr. Mike True, taught English there for like 30 years. And when said you came from there, I said, there's no way he came from that college. Must have been another Assumption College. But you did, right?
Yeah, I did. And back then, Assumption College, the 2 years I was there, we finished, we made it to the Final Four in Division II both years and lost in the semis both years. But back then, it was, you know, a little bit different terrain out here in the college scene. And a lot of the Division II schools were really, really good. I mean, I think the Bucks even drafted a guy from Bentley College, which was kind of in the, we didn't have a conference, but in one of our regular opponents, Brian Hamill, I believe his name was. And he ended up, I don't know if he made the Bucks, but he had a cup of coffee with him, I think.
I don't know where to start. I do want to start this. You're on the team in 77, and I'm assuming that George Thompson, they're having a celebration of life today, 4-8 at the Italian Community Center in Milwaukee. Someone described him to me as the original GOAT, but I got to believe he was part of your experience at Marquette.
He was a huge part of the experience. As soon as I got here, back in those days, you had to sit out a year. And, you know, right away, George, you know, reached out to me and you know, went over to his house and had me there for dinner and just treated me unbelievably. I mean, he, you know, to me, he's the godfather of all of the Marquette program forever. And he was the first recruit and kind of got the ball rolling. And he was just a guy that, you know, he'd come up to you, put his arm around you and whisper some words of wisdom to you, and always had a positive attitude and was always encouraging and just a tremendous help to me and remained a lifelong friend.
Now, there's so many people I can ask about. Now I can ask about Giannis. Now, I think you were the assistant and the interim, and then I think just before they drafted him, they said, we're going to get another head coach. But did you have any knowledge of the Bucks' interest in Giannis before they drafted him? You were around.
I didn't really have any knowledge of him. I had seen some video of him from the Greek League that he was playing in, and, super intriguing player with his length and everything, but no expectation that he would turn into what he has turned into now. And you know, that's obviously a credit to him, and got to give John Hammond credit for having the wisdom and the foresight to see something in him that maybe others didn't.
So in what you saw, it's amazing how great he's become.
It really is, you know, because when I was in Cleveland, he was, you know, just starting to come into his own in the league. And we battled them many times. And to see his game evolve and how he's taken it to another level, you know, it reminded me of I was at Michigan State in 1986 was my first year at Michigan State. Tom Izzo was an assistant. Judd Heathcote was the head coach. And I'm sure that Tony will remember this, but in 1986, the Lakers lost in Game 7 to the Houston Rockets when Ralph Sampson made that crazy catch and turnaround jump shot that went in. And the next week, Magic Johnson was back at Michigan State, and he stayed there the whole summer. And he worked every single day. They had an auxiliary gym right above our offices, 9 a.m. every morning. You hear that ball bouncing, and Magic was up there. And he was on a mission. And one of the things that he worked on during that summer, he wanted to develop a hook shot. And lo and behold, the next year in the finals against the Lakers, Magic makes one of the iconic shots in NBA history, driving across the lane. And what does he throw up? A little baby hook shot and wins it for the Lakers. And, you know, I see that in Giannis. I see the improvement that he has made from year to year. The great ones, they get better and better because they work harder than most of the other people. LeBron James, I had an opportunity to be with LeBron for 4 years. And, you know, he would take maybe 2 days off after the season. He was back in the gym working on his body, working on his game, working on his shot, working on his free throws. Just the great ones want to be even better than great. And I'll go back to that story. At the time, Magic was probably, arguably, between him and Larry Bird, the greatest basketball players in the world. And these guys, Magic is, working the entire summer just because he knew that he had to do something different in order to get his team over the hump, get him to the next level, be there, make a play when he needed to make a play. And, I saw that in LeBron. He would do that. And I haven't had the opportunity to be up close and personal with Giannis, but just watching his game from afar, you can see how he has gotten better and better every year. Just look at the way his body has developed and the player that he has become. And it's no secret for young people out there listening. It's all about hard work. And if you put the work in, you'll get the results. And you have the God-given talents like he does. And, you work on those things and you become better and you become more, you become great. And then you become just an icon, which is what he is right now.
Yeah. Jim, there's no doubt that, Giannis, has the intangibles. He's got size. He's got the athleticism within him. Like you say, you had to build strength though. He had the work ethic, obviously. But somebody had to be responsible for making Giannis into who he is as far as what his game looks like, because obviously he was not able to just be that dominant downhill, unstoppable in transition, and now becoming, even at the half court, if he gets a step on you, the Euro step. Who do you think was responsible for molding his game and telling him, hey, this is how you got to play? And until you do, get some other skills, until you do get a little bit of a jump shot or a little bit of a post game, you have to be just this downhill guy. Who do you think was responsible for that?
Tony, I don't really know who would be responsible. Maybe Darvin. I'm sure that he has worked with him, over all these years. I don't know exactly who it is. It could be a group of people. But the thing that separates these guys is the willingness. A lot of people ask me often, what was it like coaching LeBron? And who everyone knows his basketball IQ is off the charts. And I tell people it was one of the greatest opportunities of my life and my career to be around a guy like that, because he trusted me and he would listen. But it came with a caveat. You better know what you're talking about, because if you don't know what you're talking about, you can't BS these guys. So I'm sure that Giannis, in his development, he was a kid who came over, was hungry, and got around the right kind of people, people who were teaching him the right things, talking to him in the right way. And Tony, you know as well as anybody, there's a lot of distractions in the NBA. There's a lot of people in your ear outside the organization. And the great players shut those people out, in the sense they don't shut them out as friends. but they just don't listen to that chatter. Because if you start listening to the chatter of you don't get enough shots, you don't get this, you need this, you know, that gets in the way often. And you can see clearly that that has not gotten in the way of Giannis, just like it has not gotten in the way of LeBron.
Yeah, we've probably both seen a bunch of guys who you could tell are hearing that outside noise from those who are maybe not knowledgeable of what's going on, and just like, hey, you need to take more shots, or you need this, or you need that. And you can tell those guys who are that. And I agree, you're right. Giannis is not that guy. Giannis is all about the work and getting better.
Exactly. And then, and then it comes down to a hunger to win, and with winning comes success and, a legacy. And he's developed one right now, and, he's just going to keep getting better. They ran into some issues this year with stuff they couldn't control, injuries and things like that. Or else I believe that they would have been in the finals and had an opportunity to go up against Golden State. Now, I don't know if they could beat Golden State this year because they, Steph Curry was playing out of his mind. Yeah, as he always does, but in the playoffs. But really, and when you have a guy like Giannis in the game of basketball, an individual player can win a championship for you. It's not like some of the other sports. And, you can do whatever you want to try to take a guy like that out of a game, out of a series. Very, very difficult to do, right. Very difficult to do. And so, when you have a star that, of that magnitude, everybody can jump on his back, boy, and he can take you to the promised land.
Yeah, Jim, I got one last one. Now I'll let Homer jump in here. But
no, you two keep talking. I'm just going to leave. Tell me when you're done.
No, you're not going anywhere. But I want to know, because there's a lot of talk recently over the last few years about Giannis, right? And people, you hear like, oh, he needs a jump shot, right? But obviously, there's a lot more talk when the Bucks don't win the championship, right? But Giannis needs to do this. Giannis needs to do that. I'm always in the camp like, I don't know how much I want Giannis shooting threes because he's so dominant at getting to the rim and dominating in the paint. Where do you fall in that philosophy? Like, as how much do you want to see Giannis change his game and do some other stuff?
Well, it's a long season, and these are human beings with human traits. And so, when I see Giannis shooting threes and, I don't get too concerned about it because I know that in the playoffs and when it really counts, he's going to play to his strength. And his strength is, getting out in transition, playing downhill, like you've stated, attacking the rim, getting to the free throw line, and so, guys, sometimes, there's a little bit of when a guy's guard, 10 feet off him guarding him, there's like, oh, I can make this shot. And, he'll have a night or two where he knocks down enough of those threes. But I know that, when it's nut cutting time, he's going to play to his strength. And so guys are always trying to improve their games. They're always trying to add something, whether it's perimeter shooting or maybe something off the dribble, working on their free throws, things like that. So, I'm sure that he's going to continue to get better. A lot of times, too, when I look at the big guys, especially with the big hands and the long arms, there's a lot of mechanics in shooting. And when you got that kind of length and those size hands, there's a lot of things you got to do exactly right, and so it's very easy to maybe have a shot that looks pretty easy for him and it's made before, but sometimes mechanics are just slightly off and it's not easy, when you're that long, and your hands are that big to be really, really consistent with your perimeter shot. It's not something that's, as easy as, for maybe, a 6'5", 6'6" guard or Tony Smith or someone like that, So, those are all factors that come into play. But to me, if Giannis wants to shoot some threes, hey, man, go ahead and shoot them.
All right. Now, I would be glad to be quiet, but I still have like 10 questions. So that just means, Jim, you're going to have to come back. You're getting texts The PR man for Coach Bruce Weber, Frank Egan, says, we used to play softball against Jim Boylan at 35th in Wisconsin.
That's true.
He claims you would remember that. Do you actually remember that?
I remember playing. I don't know if I remember playing against him. I had some really good teammates. I had a guy named Phil Higgins was on my softball team.
Legendary softball.
I've never seen a guy hit a ball as hard and as far as that guy used to hit it. I mean, it was scary.
You know what they called him later? They called him the Bo Jackson of slow pitch softball. Like, whatever they said Bo Jackson did playing baseball, he could do it playing softball. So you picked a great teammate.
For some reason, he decided one year not to play in the professional league or the semi-pro league or whatever. They were flying him all over the country. He decided to play for this bar team that I was playing on.
Oh, man.
It was great.
All right, so we'll talk again because I certainly have questions about down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors. They're 73-9. Yes or no? Did you always believe in that series that you could win and would win?
Never in doubt. Never in doubt.
We'll save that for the next time. Jim, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. We'll do it again.
All right, Homer.
See you, Jim.
All right, see you guys.
Jim Boylan left out probably half of the things. He might have been with Michigan State when they were the last Big Ten team to win a national championship. Have to look that one up. Next.